Welcome to Sweeping the Country one more time. I'm your host, Derek Walker. My co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey. It's a great time of year for people who are sports fans. You know, this is the best time of year if you're a sports fan.
You're right about that.
You've got college football all ramped up.
Yep.
You've got the pro football.
That's right.
Starting to show who's good and who's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You've got NASCAR in the playoff mode. They've got another month or so.
That's right.
They're doing the Talladega race this coming weekend, 1st of October.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got national. I think NHL starts up. NBA's not far. And all these.
And baseball. Playing. And baseball's still going.
Yeah,
there.
Baseball is coming in. You know, people are all lining up to who's going to be in the playoffs.
And then right, later in the right. Yeah.
So it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything you want. One of the greatest college football games was the Georgia-Alabama one this past weekend. It was exhausting to watch.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch Sunday after living through that on Saturday. it was something. So Alabama's back at number one.
Wow.
First time in a little while, and we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you got your new coach and everything like that, so it's nice to have the number one spot.
We needed to see what he could do.
Yeah, right.
And he is doing great. He's got Saban's recruits with him, you know, his team.
Of course.
Basically with some add-ons. But he's got, you know, all the new coaches in there. And so they did good. And they were tested.
Yeah. They were. No doubt about it.
You've got all that going on in the world of sports. And then the weather is just, you know, insane because of the heat out west. You guys in Southern California and everywhere else have just had crazy, crazy, crazy heat in the last 4 or 5
months. They sure have, yeah.
And then these hurricanes, you know, have finally, they weren't doing anything, and then all of a sudden, kaboom, they did.
Yeah.
And this Hurricane Helene that came in the Big Bend area of North Florida, and it did do a lot of damage all the way down to nearly the Keys.
But man.
Most people like that, flooding. Clearwater, Florida, the beach moved into, you know, at least a couple of hundred yards into the town.
Wow.
And so we got all this sand. It's just a massive amount of that. And then you go further up, and the wind and whatever it was, Category 4, just destroyed things right up there. Then this storm went fastest I've ever seen one move. It just went at about 60 or 70 miles, zoom, and went through, and it killed a couple of people in tornadoes and a few things damaging. Then it went over the Appalachians. And it just stopped, and it rained at one point. I think, I don't know if it was in a day or in a very finite period, 24 inches of rain.
Holy cow.
In an area that had already was saturated from rains from a previous storm. So that made everything go crazy. It caused a dam to break. When that dam broke, people were having to escape this hospital from the roof.
Oh my gosh.
It washed away horses and cows and buildings and everything else. It wiped out roads. It looked like World War II with bombing raids in there because all the dirt gave away and limestone gave away. And this pressure of this water coming off these mountains. Interstate 40 on the Tennessee-North Carolina line, they just said, will not reopen till October of next year.
1 year to clean that up.
It'll be a year to clean this mess up. And that interstate is closed. So people are having to go really far north or really through Atlanta south.
Is that
so
the main
big deal?
Is that one of the main thoroughfares?
I mean, you know, the interstate systems go, 10 goes from Jacksonville, Florida to Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 goes from somewhere out west to like Charlotte or something. And then, you know, 30 and 40 and 50 and all the different ones go up. And so this is I-20,
wow.
I-40, excuse me, I-40. And it's the main road between Charlotte and Knoxville,
in
that part of America, right there.
I get
so there
that
are
though.
Ways around it, but that's a big deal.
I get that cleanup time. I remember when I was just in my teens, we had some local flooding, and they got a bunch of us together to go help clean up the mess, right? And it was a couple hundred houses, and we went down there with boots and shovels.
There's nothing worse than the aftermath of a flood. That is nasty.
It's unbelievable.
It's stinky.
Yes.
It's unhealthy. And see, when this water goes down, and it's still up, it's going down a little bit every day. At some point, all these dead horses and cows.
It's going to be in there. Yeah.
I mean, caskets were seen floating down the river.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they popped up out of the ground.
Well, and people don't think about it. There's a lot of silt in that water because it's washing dirt and it's crap that you...
Everything.
So it, when it everything. Settles, all that solid material...
It's nasty.
Yeah,
right.
It's still nasty. There. Yeah.
So crazy. Asheville, I mean, all these places. And, you know, it took... They just weren't really ready for this. And,
yeah.
and none of the people were, because they just weren't. I mean, mm-hmm. the emergency management things were overwhelmed very quickly. I mean, this storm has caused, I think, well over 100 people killed.
Yeah.
And then the damages, it's going to be the fifth most expensive storm in American history.
Wow, that's way up there, yeah.
Oh, well over in the billions.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy.
That's going on. It's going to take a while for that gets off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all Republican, might I add.
Oh, yeah, they caused,
that
did
area,
they cause
East
the whole
Tennessee,
thing?
Oh. Western North Carolina. It's all
oh, they didn't cause it. They're in it. Okay,
I get
it.
And so okay, some people are saying, you know, because conspiracy theorists around every corner.
Well, sure.
The Democrats were slow to operate, come help, because it's Republicans. So, I mean, it certainly looked that way.
I mean, first, hey.
I think they're all in now.
Anything's possible, I guess. But
I guess. But I think no one, you know, because, again, the vice president, and the Secretary of Labor, for example, you know, they've been on the West Coast this past weekend with this longshoreman strike. Now, I don't know by now if it's over with or still going.
Yeah.
But that's going to – it's costing the economy of the United States something like $4 or $5 billion a day.
No, it's going to be
– economic impact.
Yeah, it's going to be a big problem financially. Yeah.
So and they're not going to be able to fix this. These longshoremen won't – like some 70 or 100, a big percentage of increase in wages over a longer period, you know, over the contract period, because they're reeled down because of the economy being in the inflation.
Yeah.
So they want to try to catch up with inflation. I get that, but everybody can't get that raise.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger thing, they want no automation. They want to promise that there won't be any, you know, they won't do automation and get rid of jobs at these ports. We don't have steamboat operators anymore either.
I mean,
have automation in these ports. I'm sorry, that's happening. And every other job in America is going to have more automation. You've just got to stay ahead of it and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to stay ahead of it. Certain jobs have a shelf life.
These guys,
these
numbers are astonishing. It's 45,000 members of the Longshoremen's Association. 45,000, 36 ports affected. That's a lot of ports, Jimmy.
There'll be no choice in for Christmas if this doesn't get straightened out.
Yeah, they got to iron it out quick.
And then there won't be any bananas. You know,
what's going on with bananas? Huh?
Stuff that won't be happening. A lot of things certainly move on rail,
mm-hmm.
but
that's true.
Move on rail because they came over on the ship.
Right. So, which is part of what's going on. Yeah. So it's a vicious circle.
And then the other thing going on right now, which can trump everything, including the Helene,
mm-hmm.
is the Mideast is blowing up again.
Now, that is something I have not kept my eye on, but you said quite the fireworks show.
They had, you know, as the day we record this is the day that Iran sent 100-plus ballistic missiles into Israel.
Holy cow.
And they were taken out by the missile defense systems, mostly of Israel, but they're American-made.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of things from our destroyers destroyed some of them, too.
Wow.
They're off in the Mediterranean or somewhere shooting rockets. It looked like a great 4th of July fireworks show over Tel Aviv in Israel.
Mm.
It was amazing.
That's
now,
crazy.
If you've seen the footage, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And shrapnel's falling down and hurting some people, but it didn't kill anybody, at least on the first run.
Yeah.
Now, what does it cost, all these things? All right, here's some of the prices that are just going to make you drop.
Okay, go.
Tomahawk missile. Now, I don't think we shot any of these because that's an offensive weapon.
Okay.
Not a defensive weapon. But if we were shooting them, they're, last check, $2 million a pop.
Per rocket?
Per missile. $2
million
a pop. Now,
holy cow.
The Sentinel missile system, this is, I think we were, that's going to be our new missiles for, I think, our nuclear weapons. They're $214 million per missile.
Golly.
These prices, the Patriot, you've heard of the Patriot.
Oh, yeah, missiles. Yeah.
A Harpoon has been a long Navy staple anti-ship missile, and that's an anti-ship missile.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, we hadn't had to use those, I don't think. on anything lately. Yeah. 0.9 million a piece, so we don't want to shoot a lot of those up.
Yeah.
The Iranian cruise missiles, which they may have shot this time, they're only 160,000. They're discount.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cheap as the way you're talking. But I mean, still, if you think about 160, that's a lot. That's a lot
is,
when you fire 100 of them.
Money, you know, they've got it. The Javelin missile, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, I've heard of that too.
Those are $216,000 a pop.
Wow.
I mean, all these things. Now, this is what's really crazy. The Patriot missile battery.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's, I don't know how many that is in the battery, but each one of those batteries, which is brought to you on a truck, it's on a, like a flatbed, and it rises up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got missiles in there. It's $1 billion a piece.
Holy cow.
How much does an Israeli missile cost?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. They've got some cheap ones. The Tamir is $50,000.
Mm.
That's not bad. That's some decent.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We just got all kinds. I mean, this is big money, though.
Wow.
It's big money. Big money, big money, big money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a picture right now of the Patriot missile truck that kind of just parks and lifts that big canister of... It looks like a container-sized thing of missiles.
Here's the Iron Dome. You know, they keep talking about the Iron Dome.
Yeah.
Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. contributed a total of $1.6 billion to the Iron Dome defense system. U.S. another $1 billion approved in 2022. So it's cost billions to keep that up.
I can't even...
Trump is talking about putting that in over the United States. Maybe not a bad idea.
Yeah, actually, it's a lot of area, but I imagine they could figure out how to do it.
At least certain areas that, you know, high impact areas.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's just that this modern warfare is extremely expensive. So you can imagine, you know, like the Iranians are doing, sending 100 whatevers
mm-hmm.
over. And then Ukraine, you know, they're shooting missiles at each other like candy over there. And each one of those is worth, you know, a million or two or something.
Two things I want to ask you.
Yeah.
One is this is not really a question. I can't fathom that kind of money, first of all.
I can't either.
Second of all.
And most people can't. They don't.
I don't understand it. But second of all, I want to know, where is it coming from? I mean, I know where it's coming from, but where? Where are we getting that kind of money?
Money? I guess, you know, it came from income tax, I guess.
I mean,
I don't know what else we're doing.
I don't either. I mean,
I don't know any of our, you know, we're not playing. Government's not playing the stock market or anything.
Right, exactly. No, I mean, I look at that and I just think
just
to myself.
Some of this money that flies around, and you know what it costs to, you know, now it costs $30 to have a halfway decent lunch. It really does. I mean, it's
okay.
Crap now at Dairy Queen's $10.
You just hit me with something.
Okay.
We just talked about this. My wife, I called her. I said, hey, I'm on my way home from work. I'm kind of hungry and stuff. And she goes, okay, well, I was going to swing by one of the local I guess it's fast food. It's like a barbecue joint, right? And
that's
they have
what I did today at lunch.
Yeah, they have brisket and stuff like that. And
she
went into it, and they give you Texas toast and your brisket and all that stuff. She went in there. She looked up at the menu and said, "That's how much is it? $20 per plate. Per plate for a to-go, drive-through to-go.
Yeah, barbecue is a little high.
It was extremely high. So you know what I got for lunch instead of having $40 with my wife of barbecue brisket? I got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what I had instead.
Even, you know, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, I had today for lunch, I don't remember what it, I know yesterday I had a chocolate milkshake and a hot dog, and it's a puny little hot dog.
Yeah.
It was like $9.80 or something.
That's a little pricey.
You know, it wasn't, it's nothing. I mean, that's a $2 at the most meal.
Yeah, I remember Costco. Costco used to sell that for a buck and a half.
I mean, we're just really out of whack on this money, what's costing what, labor cost, inflation cost. And again, you got to decide, when did this happen? This happened. COVID screwed up the country.
Yeah, it did. No question.
About that.
No question.
It screwed it up deeper than we even have an imagination mm-hmm. because we almost came to a stop.
Yeah.
And we can't afford to come to a stop. And we did. And we didn't gather. We didn't meet. Things didn't happen.
Right.
And it really screwed us up. It really screwed us up.
Yeah, you're right.
But going in there and, you know, I don't understand our energy policy, but going in there and it being one way one day and one way the next, that screwed us up. And it sure seemed like inflation took off, you know, almost 4 years ago, and gas went all the way up. Then all of a sudden it's come down. And some of that has to do with the Mideast, and some of it, you know, people playing with us in the Middle East. And then all this electrical stuff that we wanted to do that seems to almost be a bust. They've stopped building factories, you know, and some of the things they were going to do for that. I don't know where that's going to go in the coming year. So I don't know. We are in an election year, and we're, you know, voting, I think in some places has actually started, but you know, it really, people are not voting for the Democratic nominee. They're voting against Trump. It's either you are against Trump or you're for Trump. And that's what this election is. No one's out there. I mean, a few people may be passionate for Harris, but mostly they hate Trump.
Do you feel like, Jimmy, that Trump's kind of got the attitude now, look, hey, I told you what I got. This is what I got. This is what I'm going to do. If you vote that way, and go ahead if you want to, that's what you're going to get. So I've kind of
And that's what's going to have to, we're all going to have to find out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be about delivering people to the polls. It's going to be about Republicans stopping the concept of going to vote on election day and voting in advance and getting it done so you don't forget or you don't have a flat tire that day
and miss out
whatever else.
Yeah,
the Democrats understand that. We've got to be frustrated whenever this ends. At some point, we've got to get together as Americans and stop this silly thing. We've got to mechanize somehow. We've got to modernize the election process.
Mm-hmm. Where I would agree with that.
The answer is on election at the end of election day.
I would agree with that.
Not going off 3 and 4 days and stuff like that, you know, on an election that's tight. And this one is not going to be tight in California and in Illinois and places like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Chicago's blue as the Mediterranean Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And in Alabama, it's not going to be a concept either. It's going to be 60-40, you know, Republican. So those states are fine, but it's these swing things.
Yeah.
And that's where people get worried about the monkey business. Mm-hmm. In Philadelphia, could be monkey business. Atlanta, monkey business.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what's – I don't feel comfortable with someone being so one-sided being in charge of a swing state. And that's where all these rumors got – rumors are bad news for an election. We shouldn't have rumors. We should be very confident in what's going on. And they saying that, well, we're not going to be able to count these votes for a couple of days after the election. There's got to be a way to round that. I have wondered
that forever, because with the advent of the computer, the computing technology that we have, right? You can't figure out the numbers in about an hour?
But you don't want to put everything on. See, a lot of people are so uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's true.
Being on the computer, because you can just manipulate. That's where that voting machine rumor started.
Yeah,
remember,
that's
they
true.
Had a big lawsuit about that, claiming that someone went there and fixed those numbers. And I think they owned a lot of Fox had to pay when they said that. So,
well, do you remember in college?
I don't know.
When you were in college, did you have the Scantron?
Absolutely.
That was pretty fast. I mean, you fill in the dots, and then that thing ran through a scanner, and we had the grade.
But you wonder if someone can, you know, that's smart
maybe,
that knows how to manipulate
all this stuff. Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's the thing.
You know, people want to be able to vote online, and not this generation, but maybe the next generation is going to vote to be able to vote online.
Well, I got something.
You have a password, and just, you know, if your bank account's safe, your voting ought to be safe.
I would agree with that. I got a thing the other day for jury duty, so I get called. I may have to serve. I may not. I don't know yet. But I got a letter in the mail that said you've been called for jury duty, right? And so I opened it, and I wish I could show it to you, because I have it multicolored and, you know, red and blue, and here's what you do. And you can call the number of the courthouse or whatever, and they'll tell you what to do. Or you can jump online and go here. And so I thought, well, I mean, it looks legit, and both my wife and I looked over the whole thing, and it seems to be. And I went online, and I answered all the questions on the jury questions they had for you. You know, could you do this? Could you do that?
Yeah.
Do you work full-time? Do you work part-time? It had all the questions that you normally get, but it was all online, and I click, 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 and now they're texting about the jury service. I said, yeah, go ahead and text me. That's how I want to find out whether I'm serving or I'm not serving, right? You used to have to call a number, and it was a recording, and you would wait and wait and wait. Now they text you. I mean, I know that it's risky, but like you said, if you can bank online and that's safe, you can't vote online?
Somehow that you can, you know, you feel someone to vote through the bank, you know, if we had to, because everybody feels the most comfortable about that, and we've all paying bills online.
How do you file your taxes?
Online.
That's how I do it. you know?
You know, I mean, there's got to be a way to do it some way, but I don't think anybody wants to know the way.
You might be right.
Because they feel like they're have and have nots in technology.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
Or people don't have access. But they ought to be able to vote the way they want to vote. Have them vote by hand or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Figure out the way. But just cut out some of these millions of people. You know, let them vote the way that they want to vote. And then if they need to vote by hand or whatever, then you can do that too.
Most of the time, if I do something online that's the security enabled, like taxes or whatever you do like that, they give me back more information, it seems like, than I give them. I put in a number, my password, bloop, all my houses show up, and my all any investments and 1099s, they got copied.
Boy, I can tell you, know, computers, they know. I mean, I can go into my YouTube account,
mm-hmm.
go to the analytics section, and I can see how many people are watching my stuff right now.
And where? Live. Where they're watching it from.
And where they're pretty much, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they can even tell more.
Yeah.
About it, but even me and in my availability, I can see that it's just as much as the missiles costing $2 billion or yeah. whatever, you know, yeah. billions of dollars. To me, all this computing and what they know and what they don't know is just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then how a hurricane can come along and send us back to the Dark Age,
the Stone Age, just like that.
I mean, Stone
yeah.
Age, because
yeah.
these people couldn't get out of their homes, they couldn't get down the road. They couldn't call anybody because the cells commit suicide real quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real bad thing. The computing and all this stuff goes out way too fast. The Asheville airport, for example, was open. The runways are up here. They didn't get hurt or anything.
Yeah.
But you couldn't, if you got there, and airlines weren't coming in because you couldn't rent a car because they had no computers.
Gosh, yeah.
You couldn't get a taxi because there's a gasoline shortage because the gas tankers can't come because there's no way to get into the town.
Yeah.
So,
well, how would you even pump the gas? You can't even pump it.
Well, yeah, the power's been out. So, but even if the power comes back on, until the trucks can come in and give you the gas, then you can't drive the cars. So it's, and God knows what these electric cars would have done.
Oh, gosh.
So they wouldn't even have been that good. And I understand that in somewhere they were having trouble when the electric cars got into the salt water.
Yeah. Causing fires.
Caught on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a technology that ain't ready for prime time. I'm telling you.
I agree.
It's not ready for prime time yet.
I agree. Just crazy. With
just all these things. We went maybe way too fast, but it's good for certain areas, certain metropolitan downtown areas. Mm-hmm. In certain parts of the country, it would probably work if everybody was electric in there. But you're not going to do that in most of the, not America anyway, maybe in a couple of towns, but
yeah,
I tried to throw all the gas out with the baby with the bathwater was stupid.
Yeah, I would agree. But, putting too many eggs in one basket too is
you know,
not
this
good.
Year, this week we had the passing of Kris Kristofferson, great songwriter.
Yeah.
John Amos, who was on Good Times, he was a great actor. The guy on American Pickers, Frank Fritz, I always
the bald his. Guy or the other guy?
The other guy with the beard. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, I liked him.
On that van mm-hmm. going around people's bar. I'll give you $50.
Right. It was a great show. It was a great show when it first came out.
All that. Trying to think, you know, there was one thing about, they did a piece, and that's a great show, usually, on Sunday morning, CBS Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
They do wonderful profiles of people. And they did a thing this week that was interesting, and I've talked to stars about it. Have you ever been starstruck?
Okay.
You know, it starts out with shyness and then it leads to embarrassment and something else. Why does that happen to us? And it's, you know, sociologists have tried to understand it. And it's a lot of complicated stuff. Projections that we put on people
yeah.
that are well known. And, you know, we wish we could be some of them or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's part of it. You know, and have you ever been starstruck?
Boy,
where you just,
you know,
maybe not act cool, but just couldn't talk or couldn't, you know.
Well, there's a couple times, and I haven't interviewed or sat with as many celebrities as you have. Obviously, you've done this for so long, but people like Garth Brooks that I've sat down with, I thought I would be starstruck, but he was just so kind and so nice that I just felt like he was a high school friend. So that was one that I really thought it would happen with. If I ever had been able to sit down with Willie Nelson, I imagine I would have been somebody like that. As far
you
as
would, because he's not a real easy interview.
Is he tough? Yeah.
Real short answer guy.
Yeah.
And so you, that could, that I've been nervous around him myself, and I've been nervous. I've been around him a lot.
Really? That's interesting. I would even with your good buddy, Sean Connery, I think I would be a little on.
I was ready to be nervous in that, man. I would prepared my whole life for that. But somehow I just hadn't, went in there and it was great.
No
and,
problem.
Every time I was okay. I wasn't a babbling idiot any of the times. But I've certainly been that way. I mean, where I couldn't speak.
Okay. So who was it for you? Because I know it's not very many.
Speak.
Who?
I couldn't speak when Elvis, when I was
okay.
Face with Elvis on two different occasions.
Yeah.
I could not speak.
Wow.
I don't understand why, because I was a little younger. I wasn't part of that. You know, that's my brother's guy, Elvis.
Yeah.
But when he came up, we were out there in his plane at nearly midnight on an airport apron.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, the state trooper, was going to put him in the Cadillac and drive him to the hotel downtown.
Wow.
Waited to have everybody else, and my roommate and I and some people from the station, we were live. Going live, and he came right up to us, and me and the other guy, the idiot I was with from the radio station, neither one of us could talk. We just stood there and looked at him.
And was he like, "What are you doing?"
He just kind of looked at us, and since we weren't going to talk, he just kind of nodded and got in the car.
Oh, and then my gosh, that's crazy!
Assumed it was the Jedi mind trick.
Yeah.
Jedi trick when he said, "You're not going to speak. I'm not going to speak." And then it happened again a couple of months later. After a concert, we chased him down to the Holiday Inn in Opelika, Alabama.
Yeah.
And into the room, we didn't get there in time. We were the only two people there at all. And so the state trooper let us stay.
Yeah.
And he'll be out soon. We're going to take him to Columbus. They're flying on to wherever. And so we waited, and he came out of the hotel room with these two women, one on each side.
Yeah.
You know, and they came up and walked down the sidewalk, and then kind of presented himself right to us and he had this jet black hair and open collar shirt, I remember, and it was the king, and we couldn't speak.
Golly.
We didn't have nothing. We just kind of looked and nodded our head. Then he got in the car and left.
Was he just bigger than life, Jimmy? I mean,
I don't know. I, to this day, I've never understood what that was about.
I mean, I've seen people that have this command, right? Like that I get stupid with. I can still speak, but everything I say is just not intelligent.
Yeah, that happens, and I've certainly done that.
Yeah.
Often. But I mean, yeah, most of the time I've been okay, but the people that I've so personally was aware of,
mm-hmm.
Carter, I was ready.
Yeah.
You know, I was ready because we had a sit down interview, and every time I was with him, it was okay.
Yeah. You know, interesting.
Five different times I made that going on. But like Clint Eastwood, I was okay most of the time until I phrased a question and he rephrased the question for me. He said, "Did you mean this and this and this?" "Yes, sir. That's what I meant."
That's what I meant.
Running through, "Go ahead, punk. Make me say." I could see him pulling out the 44, just shooting me right there in the interview. I was an out-of-body experience after each end, but you can't see it when you watch the interview. You can't see it, but I
felt it.
Watched myself do the interview. It was weird.
I have done that. I have done that, Jimmy, where I feel like I step out of my body and become somebody else. It's just the interviewer. Just
Paul McCartney. I was an idiot. I just couldn't put words together. I think I might have put a phrase, even with Yoko, and even Hillary Clinton. I mean, these are all people that, I mean, just couldn't. I didn't.
Wow.
Okay, here's my chance. What am I going to say? You know.
Yeah.
You know, with people like Olivia, you know, to go sit down next to Olivia Newton-John on the airplane, and fly back from Los Angeles to Nashville, and at some point in there, I'm rubbing her back.
Oh, so, I mean, interesting.
That went from there to there. So And then being around Dolly is, she's so wonderful though. You know, I've flown with her and And, you know, sometimes though, with just these really, they're extremely wealthy. They're famous. Mm-hmm. They're talented. They're everything you would love to be.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I don't know why we freeze up like that. I can't imagine.
I did a little bit of that. I froze up a little bit with him because he wasn't as easy. You know, some people aren't easy to put their arms around. He was not easy to put your arms around. He was civil enough. Yeah. Johnny Carson was a little scary.
How about Jay Leno? You had Jay Leno. I mean, they're the same kind of mold.
With you, that's as easy. I've done a lot of stuff with him, and every time it was very easy. He was like one of the guys. One of the guys. Ringo was a little standoffish, and Paul was just famous, and you just feel like this. He's heard everything, and it would have to be a longer discussion before I could come up with something that nobody else has come up with.
Yeah, I get that, and you want to, as someone who's interviewing.
Yeah, and I've heard. You know, I don't know what. Sometimes you just don't have anything else to ask.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, true that.
All you've heard is their response to everything, and wow, you know, just some people you just behave like that with. But anyway, the piece on Starstruck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's one that I kind of bumbled around with a little bit, and
who was that? Who was it?
Paisley's Bar, William Shatner.
Oh yeah, you chummed around with him for a little bit though.
I was kind of a bumbler on that one a little bit too.
But you know what? You're more critical than anybody else. I think we get our own brain fog when we're doing the interview or whatever. But when you watch it back, it looks like a normal interview.
Stupid questions. I mean, I didn't like the. I didn't. It's just you. Sometimes you don't connect.
Yes. Yes.
Mentally, whether it's just you just don't like them or you just don't have anything in common with them.
Yeah.
Or I mean, he was from Vulcan, and I don't know anybody from Vulcan.
Right. Well,
logic and all that spreading your finger stuff and all that stuff. I just didn't relate to Mr. Spock.
It's interesting that you say that because
I liked him and he was likable, but I just never, he was almost like that in person. Like he was almost like Mr. Spock.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is you've been in this industry for a long, long time. What people, 50 years. Okay, so for people that don't know. So for a lot of you that don't know, when you're doing an interview sometimes, it's a very finite amount of time. They
5 minutes. I did one today. 5 minutes with the woman who's the secretary for Tom Selleck on Blue Bloods.
There you go. And that's what I'm talking about. So you don't have a lot of...
From Adam's House Cat. So we're all of a sudden, the screen pops up and there they are. And I'm on camera. She's on... And I said, hello. And she said, hello. I said, can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah.
I said, the control room, let me know when to go. We had a couple of false starts, and then they said go, and which was kind of screwed me up because I was off my rhythm right off
the bat.
So she got balled up on my first question.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was fine. But she didn't know me. I didn't know her.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask her just, well, how is it that Blue Bloods is ending? You know, some stupid, I can't ask those questions.
Yeah, no, and which makes it good, which makes it.
And, you know, and she had to kind of get to my rhythm. And that's how it is. Then you get going. But, yeah.
And then you're cut off. And then you're cut off. The time is up. I mean, when it's up, it's up. There's not, hey, we can go a few more minutes sometimes.
He hated that. Yeah. He did not like the concept of a 5-minute interview. Yeah. And he never did any after this.
That's interesting.
Did a couple of them in the TV. Boy, they had him going in and out of there. And he said, I feel like a $5 hooker in a house of repute. He hated it because you didn't have time. And like they were rushing me once with Gregory Peck, that old school people, they didn't like that rushing. I was through with my interview with Gregory Peck. It was great.
Yeah.
We had a great time. Really good. It was good. And so I wanted him to sign something. And so he was signing an autograph for me. And he was having, the pen was having trouble or whatever. And they're trying to rush us out of there to move to the person. And he said, he just held up his hand and said, son, don't let them bother you.
Wow.
Because he finished having our moment together. And then we can do the next one.
Yeah.
But he didn't that making sausage kind of thing, you know, with coming through, because it just, it's hard on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a bunch of those interviews. Most idiots ask the same question, you know, that everybody asks the same question. Well, how did it feel working with Mr. Spock?
You right, know, right.
It bores them, so they give you the answer, you know, boom. And it's like Trump. You know, I mean, the first time I interviewed him,
mm-hmm.
I asked him right off the bat, would I like working for you?
Great question.
And he said, well, Jimmy, I don't think so. And he explained why. He was so demanding. And but see, that got him off his game a little bit, because if you can, I don't want to stump the band with them, but I want them to use another part of their brain instead of the one that's just on loop.
Yeah, the automatic part. You don't want the automatic part. Yeah.
It's really hard to do that with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Before he was governor, he was made to be that job, because I don't care if I ask him, do you ever get your pants wet?
Mm-hmm.
If I asked that question, which would be off the wall, he would say, I don't know about my pants, but I know that Terminator is the best movie you've ever seen.
Right.
I mean, he would turn it back to, you know, whatever we were doing. I mean,
yeah.
He would brilliantly always answer the question that he wanted you to ask him.
Since we're talking about all this, just for people that don't know, of course, you can hear right here on Sweeping the Country, you can hear some of these interviews that you have done, Jimmy, over the years. But then you can also see them on your YouTube channel, which is a great way to watch them, too. What is that for people that want to check it out?
Everything that I have is one brand. Ask Jimmy Carter.
Okay. Easy enough.
This is the 100th birthday of the other Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, it is, as a matter of fact.
I posted today, you ought to... he autographed a book for me once, and he went to the other Jimmy Carter.
I love it, Jimmy. I can't believe, you know, there were people that thought he wouldn't make it to 100, but he did. So there you go.
And his family has said that he's perked up in the last.
Really?
That he's interested in the Braves going into the playoffs.
Wow.
That he's in the music of Garth Brooks and the Allman Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that he's perked up a little
wow.
bit. And sometimes, you know, before they go, it goes like a little
spike.
Ocean, so.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Jimmy, always a pleasure to have you again. Check out Ask Jimmy Carter, AskJimmyCarter.com. You can check out our YouTube channel.
Sweet. Ask Jimmy Carter YouTube.
It's everywhere.
Ask Jimmy Carter everything.
You got it. And don't forget to visit Sweeping the Country. Tell a friend. Until next week when we do this all again, I'm Derek Walker. He is...
What is my Jimmy Carter?
AskJimmyCarter.com.